What's up, everyone? My name's Andrew Greenleaf, and welcome to episode one of my new belief-based marketing podcast. I'm super stoked to be able to share this info with you that I've been learning for the past 3 years now, and I've just been diving deep in different fields, and so I've been connecting the dots, and it's a pretty big deal. I believe it's a huge deal. In fact, I think I'm onto something ridiculous. So I'm super stoked to bring it to you guys so that you, the listener, can get more consistent, better results in your businesses, in your marketing, in your copywriting, and even in your life. Because really, what we're talking about in this podcast is it's all around human nature, beliefs, emotions, values, you know, and it's all, the basis is human nature. So with that said, that means it can be applied to anything in your life, your relationships, yourself, you know, the way you communicate with yourself. But this, you know, I'm focusing in on marketing, but I just wanted to mention that. And as you listen to it, you'll start to connect the dots in your own way, and you'll have your own breakthroughs. So I'm stoked for you to have that experience as well. And anyway, I'm going to start this episode, my very first episode, with my story, how I came to where I am now, and ultimately the birth of belief-based marketing. So without any further ado, I'll start my story. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrew Greenleaf Bauer, and my real middle name is Greenleaf. A lot of people hear that, they're like, "What? That's too weird. Your name, most people don't believe me when I tell them that." And so it's true, and it's kind of a funny story behind it. So on my dad's side of the family, I had like a great uncle or something like that, and his name was Almond Greenleaf Bauer. And oddly enough, on my mom's side of the family, there was, I don't know if he was a great uncle or if he was like a great great grandpa or something, but his name was Andrew Lee Greenleaf. So his last name was Greenleaf, while on the other side of my family, the middle name was Greenleaf. And so it was this weird synchronistic name that was a part of both families, but from different origins. Like one of them is Irish and the other is actually French. So it's just kind of interesting. So anyway, that's my real middle name. And the reason I'm using it is because it's weird enough that I think it will stick in people's minds. It's kind of a branding strategy for me. But at the same time, I just, I don't know. It's kind of fun. So anyway, I grew up the youngest of six kids in Casper, which is a small city of about 57,000 in central Wyoming. And as you can imagine, growing up the youngest of six kids had its ups and its downs, right? It was a blessing and a curse in different ways. So I like to say it was a blessing in the sense that my older siblings wore my parents out by the time I was getting to, you know, the troublemaking age. And it was also a curse in the sense that my older siblings wore my parents out by the time I was getting to troublemaking age. And the reason for that was because, you know, my parents had been through so much struggling just to keep the other five kids, like, you know, just keeping them under control pretty much, that by the time I was that age, they were tired of it, I think. And so I was able to get away with a lot more than my siblings. And it was also a blessing because I learned what was cool way before the rest of my kid or the rest of my age group. And it was also a curse because of that, you know, because I learned what was cool way before the rest of my age group. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I knew all the cool music, like years and years before my age group, and I was doing all these cool things that older kids were doing way before my age group. And so I just kind of grew up too fast, and that's something my mom says to me. She'll tell me, you grew up too fast. And I believe she was right, because mentally I always felt way ahead of my time and older than I was physically, which ultimately left me feeling distanced from my peers in my age group, which, I didn't have too many friends growing up, which wasn't a bad thing. I had very close friendships still to this day. But anyway, it just created that distance, and I don't know how to explain it. You relate to people differently, and I just matured mentally faster than my body. So anyway, so I started hanging out with older kids once adolescence came around, and that was the beginning of what I called my struggle. Even though I didn't know it at the time, that was the beginning. And I remember in seventh grade, my history teacher telling me that I would never graduate high school or get anywhere in life. And looking back, I can see why he said that, even though it was the total asshole thing to say to a 12-year-old. I understand, because I was such a little shithead. And that was the beginning, that around that time, sixth and seventh grade. So and now I can look back with clarity at how damaged I was mentally back then, and ignorant and miserable. And at the time, I don't think I even knew it. I know I didn't know it, actually. I put myself through some really uncool mental states and conditions. And so I started doing drugs at a pretty young age. I started smoking weed when I was a sixth grader, when I was 11. And I was struggling at that time with extremely low self-esteem and virtually no self-confidence. And so it was bad. I literally hated myself. And in fact, one time I was so angry at myself. This is gonna make me sound crazy, but I just want people to know I'm not crazy like this. But back then I was just so damaged mentally that one time I was so angry at myself, I headbutted my mirror. My reflection in my mirror. I broke the mirror and I cut my forehead to the point where I really probably needed stitches, but because I didn't want to explain what happened or lie about it, I just, like band-aided it and called it cool or whatever. But that was how much I was struggling mentally. I hated myself. I hated myself. I despised myself. And it was bad. It was really bad. And so it got so bad that my mom begged my dad to let me get a dog, because she thought a dog would prevent me from killing myself or going to prison. And I just want to remind you guys, this was when I was 14 years old at this point when I got my dog. I was in ninth grade at that time. I just entered high school. And fortunately, it worked. I didn't kill myself or get sent to prison. And so, my mom always, she says my dog was an angel and this and that, which she is, I believe 100%. But yeah, I didn't kill myself or get sent to prison, but I was still struggling mentally. And it continued for a while. And it was kind of messed up, because I kept how fucked up I was mentally super low key, meaning you couldn't tell how serious of a bad mental state I was in by looking at me or interacting with me. I was able to conceal it pretty well, even though I'm sure people, they could sense something with me. It wasn't to the point where anyone ever asked me, or I don't know, it just I don't think anyone really knew. At least no one signaled that they knew or talked to me about it or anything. So I was pretty ninja at keeping that low key, and I didn't like drawing attention to myself, so I didn't ask for help. And even if I would have been willing to ask for help, or willing to draw attention to myself, I'm pretty stubborn person, and I probably wouldn't have. I was just, I don't know, I'm stubborn like that, so I wouldn't have asked for help anyway. But that's why I believe I turned to doing more and more drugs as I became older and older as a young adult. And at that age, I really couldn't do enough drugs. It was very destructive and unhealthy, the life I was living. In fact, there was just no amount I could do to get me high enough. And it wasn't, at the time I didn't know, but now I do. Now that I have more wisdom and more experience, I understand the reason I was doing so much drugs and why I couldn't ever be high enough was because I was trying to escape reality that I created for myself. I was trying to escape my thoughts, my feelings, my problems, my shame, my embarrassment. All these things I was trying to escape from, and I didn't even know it at the time. I had no idea. And it really didn't help that I had an addictive personality either. So, regardless, I continued down my dark path for a while longer until one day, and I remember it still to this day very clearly. It was April Fool's. I came home insanely high on some super potent LSD. And my mom knew right when I walked in the door that I was on a completely other planet. And as you could imagine, she flipped major shit. And she was freaked out, honestly. She was scared for me because I was so high. And after her initial freak out, she sat me down to have our first real deep heart-to-heart conversation together, which resulted in a realization for me. I realized something at that con while we had that conversation. And this was my realization. I realized my life was either headed in one of two directions. And the first was to continue doing drugs, being a shitty son, shitty brother, shitty friend, and person in general, just a shitty person in general, and probably end up in prison like my cousin, who's my age, or two, get my act together and strive for a successful, fulfilling life where I reach and, really try to achieve my potential. I remember it was so clear. It's like, these are the two paths you can take. There's not a middle. Like, it's black or white. This was a black or white moment for me. It's like, you're either going one of these directions, man. Which one is it? So, I guess it's worth mentioning in high school and yeah, pretty much junior high and high school, I was always that kid that all the teachers saw and said, the old, you really have potential, kid. You could be so much more, but you don't try at anything. You don't care. And so I'll never forget it. That day I talked with my mom changed my life forever. That was a huge turning point in my life. In fact, it was so profound that I not only cold turkey quit doing drugs completely, but I also made arrangements to travel thousands of miles so I could spend 5 months studying and practicing Kriya Yoga at an ashram in Quebec, Canada. So it was a big shift that took place. And Yeah, so I went to Canada. I went and studied at the ashram, practiced Kriya Yoga, studied, got my I even got my yoga trainer certification so I can teach Kriya Hatha Yoga. And you could say at that time I was soul searching. Canada was definitely the beginning of my journey to self-discovery. And I had dabbled in spirituality before then, quite a bit actually, but not seriously. You know, it was an interest of mine. I was fascinated by it, but it wasn't anything I was committed to or serious about. And so this is what really sealed the deal for me, this experience in Canada. And what led me to it was I had that experience with my mom, and I just wanted a better life. I really did. And so about 5 months at the ashram, I left Canada and I traveled to India for a pilgrimage in the sacred Himalayan mountains, a little sacred village called Badrinath in the high Himalayas. And this is a very, very, really, I know I sound like a broken record, but it's just a very sacred place where a lot of Hindus and other spiritually minded and religious minded people go for pilgrimage. And so I went to Badrinath and stayed at another ashram for a number of days and practiced yoga with a group of fellow Kriyabans, which are, it's like a name for Kriya yogis and yoginis. And this was all under the guidance of my teachers. So this whole yoga experience was basically like pressing the reset button on my life. And I came back to this United States a completely new person. And you know, I learned a lot during that time of traveling, soul searching, practicing yoga, you know, meeting people from all around the world, all these different countries. It's a really international crowd, the Kriya Yoga crowd. I learned some valuable life lessons, such as developing and refining your character and the importance of creating a personal moral code, you know, your own moral code that you follow. And so those are things that to some people probably seem so obvious, but those were a couple of the breakthroughs I had in that experience. And so I came back to the States, this completely new person, and it didn't take long for me to get back in the funk. You know what I mean? I mean, you know how it goes. You leave, you have this insane transformation, and you change for a while. And then you return right where you started because you put yourself back in the same environment with the same people, and it's like all those anchors and all those triggers, it puts you back in the same limiting patterns and habits. So, although I stayed sober, I faced a new challenge, which was I had no clarity or direction for my life and my career plan. Aside from my spiritual path, I really didn't know what I wanted in life or what I wanted to do for a career, which, you know, I'm not in high school anymore, so you need to figure something out, dude, right? That's how I felt. And it was pretty depressing, really, not knowing your path, but wanting to know it, to me was depressing at that time. And so that was the challenge I was facing. And shortly after returning from yoga, something really profound and special happened in my life, almost like a miracle. My older sister introduced me to marketing, which I don't know, it's just kind of funny looking back, because prior to that point, I don't even know that I knew what marketing was. I didn't even care. But for some reason, I felt drawn to it. And so here's what happened. My sister Leslie was a real estate agent at the time I came back from India. And a few months after I came home, Leslie quit her real estate job and started a business helping people with their marketing online. So I remember thinking to myself, wait, what? You can work from the computer at home? And that was it for me. I knew I wanted to do that. I wanted to work from home with my dog, Cleo, laying by my side. And, you know, just that just sounded like the coolest thing to me. So one thing led to the next, and I just went freaking nuts and bought a ton of marketing and copywriting courses. So it resulted in a shitload of credit card debt. And I, like so many others, was seduced by the idea of freedom, because that's one of the main the main values, the main benefits that marketing and copywriting courses sell. Like, you can have all this freedom, which is true. It's 100% true. You know, you have the freedom to work from home, no boss. You'll get these fat checks because marketing, people who can market make tons of money, and really the whole nine yards. So as I discovered more about marketing, I eventually found copywriting, which was also introduced to me by my sister Leslie. And then eventually I discovered one-on-one persuasion or sales on my own. And so you guessed it. I got into more debt because I just kept being seduced by all these awesome courses from all these really prominent figures. So the way it started out, let me just, as a quick side note, it started out, I didn't know what was up within the marketing world. And I spent a ton of money on the shitty courses with the shitty people who, like, they knew a thing or two, but they weren't the preeminent figures within marketing. They were kind of, they weren't the ones you wanted to learn from, is what I'm saying. And so I spent a ton of money on those. And ultimately, those led me to the people who are now my mentors and who are the best of the best. So I'm grateful for that. But I went into a lot of debt on things that weren't even really good to begin with. And so once I found the good people, finally, I went into even more debt because I was like, wow, this is really what I need. You know, that other stuff, I can't believe I paid money for that. So yeah, I just got into a ton of debt. And something began to happen, though, as I was beginning to learn and study. And what happened was I became more and more fascinated. It became less about freedom and money and all that. And what really began to fascinate me was the idea of power and influence. You know, because the power of influence, both power and influence, I should say, they just touched me deeper than anything else I had experienced, even to this day, really. And besides spirituality and yoga, at least. And so as I studied and practiced more and more, I fell more and more in love with it. I just felt drawn to go deeper. And that's the cool thing about persuasion, is when you know the right people, you have the right mentors, there is an infinite amount of depth to it. And so I just had this inner, I was just felt really guided internally to go deeper. And if you want to know the reason why, it was because I began to understand that all these things like marketing, copywriting, persuasion, and influence, I realized what they really were. And what they really are is a means to change the world, literally. So I began to discover this enormous power these skills could give a person, and how a person with the right attitude and intention could use them to make a big impact, not only in the lives of other people, but to humanity as a whole and the planet as a whole. And so it was becoming more and more real for me. I was beginning to understand the real potential of it all. And I feel grateful for that because most people never realize the full scope of the power influence has. So that was a huge breakthrough for me to be able to even just get a glimpse of that power. So anyway, there was still one big problem I was facing at that time though, and it was I was in a shitload of debt and not making any money with my skills yet. Let me get a drink. Hold on. And so when I say a shitload of debt, I mean I maxed out 12 freaking credit cards. Plus, I was on a few payment plans for some copywriting programs. And I took out a loan from my extremely generous doctor friend, who is also my ex-employer, to pay for a mentorship program. And so it was between $38,000 to $48,000. Maybe even a little more than 40K. So yeah, I was pretty anxious for quite a while. It was tough. And until you've dug yourself into a hole of debt like I did, you really don't understand all the stress that comes with it. It's always hanging over your head 24/7, 365. Because you have to realize, I come from a middle class family. My parents, it's not like I could get a student loan to pay for these programs because they're not a college. These are online programs with real entrepreneurs, real experts, not college. So I couldn't get a student loan. I couldn't ask my parents for money because they didn't have it, first of all. And even if they did, they probably wouldn't give it to me anyway. And so there was a reason that I had to take on all this debt, and it kind of fucked me up. I felt, if I were to explain it's like it gives you knots in your stomach. It gave me knots in my stomach, I should say, knowing that I was a slave, right? I was a slave to credit card companies. And to make things worse, I was afraid to tell anyone about it because, no one, I don't know, you just, oh, you don't know how to be smart with money. Like, you're an idiot, dude. So I was kind of afraid of that. And so I didn't tell anyone about it or ask for help or this or that. And as I said before, I hated drawing negative attention to myself. So ultimately, that's why I kept it to myself. And as embarrassing as it is to say, there were even times when I had to borrow money from my sister and parents just to feed my dog, Cleo, which at the time they didn't know. I mean, they still don't know, of course. They didn't know that's why I borrowed the money. But yeah, that's how broke I was. I couldn't even feed my dog. And at that time, I was working just enough hours sandblasting at my dad's welding shop to pay my $1,000 plus per month in credit card bills. And if any of you guys don't know what sandblasting is, you're basically cleaning metal with a giant pot full of sand. You're spraying sand out of a hose that has an air compressor connected to it at metal. And it's really dirty and it sucks. And so you can imagine why I was so excited about marketing. But yeah, I was paying over $1,000 in credit card. Like, my minimum payment, just barely paying my minimum payments, was over $1,000 with credit cards. And so while spending the rest of my time, like, I was working just enough hours sandblasting my dad's shop, right? And spending the rest of my time working on developing my persuasion and marketing skills and setting up my new business. And so I just want to point something out real quick, and that is how awful, I mean awful, it feels to know you're getting charged $600 plus a month in interest on your credit cards. It makes you feel sick and depressed. Like, you feel sick to your stomach, and you literally feel depressed. Not even kidding. So that was what I was going through at this time. And at least that's how it felt for me. And I know. There are probably some of you thinking, well, you really brought that on yourself. You're an idiot. Which, to that, I agree 100%. I should have been smarter financially. There's no excuse for it other than I was an idiot and didn't do the right thing, even though I knew better. I convinced myself to take on the debt because I knew the skills I was developing would be the foundation for enormous future wealth. So that was what I kept telling myself as I was spending all this credit, you know, using the credit on my credit cards to buy these courses. I was justifying it in my mind, knowing that these skills were powerful. They would make me rich one day, and you know, they would allow me to be free and an influential person and do all these things, have the impact and stuff. But what I didn't realize when I was making these purchases and studying these programs, that like anything, you know, it takes time. So developing skills and creating a successful business, it actually takes time, which I'm a millennial, so, you know, sometimes those millennials, like, expect things to just happen overnight for some reason. But I maybe it's just me, I don't know. But anyways, the belief in the power of these skills was really all the hope I had back then to, you know, for a brighter future, because here I had all this debt, and it really weighs you down big time. So, in fact, you know, having experienced debt in such a dramatic way, at least it felt dramatic to me. I know there are people in worse scenarios, but that was pretty brutal for me. And there are nights you just lay in bed awake, worrying about getting slammed with another overdraft fee, because there's not enough cash in your account to pay the bills. And then getting slammed with another fee because the payment was late. You know, and you see that, you get the notification or whatever, and you're just like, oh, fuck. Really? And you just feel like an idiot because you know it's your fault 100%. And you know you could be doing a better job, but you're not, you know, like, you're not. For me, it was like, dude, you're not being responsible enough. But why wasn't I changing? And so it was just depressingly heavy pressure on my shoulders, and my life was just depressing at that point. It was really weighing me down big time, day in and day out. But it taught me an extremely valuable life lesson. I learned the difference between financially intelligent people and the rest of people, which there's a huge difference between the two. And I learned what not to do. It's just I learned it the hard way. But hey, I look back with gratitude because I now understand and value money in a completely new way. In a completely positive way, which sadly most people will never experience. So it's just so key to have a positive relationship with money. And thanks to my lesson, I now do. I now respect it. I now understand it better. You know, I learned to develop my financial intelligence and just be smarter and, you know, all the important things that they don't teach you in school. So I'm glad I could learn such a powerful lesson while I was still relatively young, you know, because some people, here they are, freaking 40, 50, even 60, and they still haven't figured it out. They're still in credit card debt and all these things. So I'm just glad I learned it pretty young. And the funny thing is, looking back, I now know the reason I wasn't making any money. And it's because I didn't put myself out there in front of people. I didn't put my offer out there for people to see. And the reason was because my self-esteem and self-confidence were as low as could be. Still, you know, I was carrying around shame from my past. Plus, even though I had skills in marketing and persuasion, inside I just felt incompetent. Like, if you've ever heard of imposter syndrome, you know, you have this skill and you really are, there is competency, but you just, you talk yourself down on it all. And so I kept dragging my feet when it came to leveraging my new knowledge and skills. Why though? And the simple answer is because, like so many other people who don't advance in life, I didn't believe in myself. I didn't believe in my skills and ability, even though they really were there. I just, inside on my own mind, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe I deserved the good life, you know? I didn't believe I deserved the success, the relationships I wanted. All the positive things we all want in life, I didn't believe I deserved. Deep down. And so that was my problem. That was really probably my biggest deep-seated issue since the time I started doing drugs when I was 11. I was ashamed of myself and I didn't feel like I deserved good things. That, if I had to put it into one sentence, that would be it. So that is, you know, that was my biggest struggle up until that point, until I met my mentors. And meeting my mentors completely broke me through my self-imposed limitations to the next level. They not only helped me overcome my self-esteem and confidence issues, but they gave me the keys to the kingdom. And when I say keys to the kingdom, I mean the keys to the kingdom. They gave me the exact tools and strategies I needed to succeed, and to succeed fast if I was committed enough. So the belief in myself, the belief in my skills, my expertise, my vision, it all began to flood in as I began working with my mentors. It was like once I had them on my side, I couldn't lose. My mindset just began to shift and my life really began to transform. And when I say transform, I mean I became a new person all over again, but permanently this time. It was like I couldn't be changed back, even if I was in the same environment. Like returning from India, I came home this transformed person, and it just seemed like I went back into my ruts and this and that. You know, this time it was different. My entire mindset shifted permanently. The old me was gone. The ideas began flowing. The energy levels started rising. And most importantly, my vision became crystal clear to me. That was the key. I understood what it was that changed my life, that helped me achieve these profound transformations. It was my coaches, it was my mentors, and what they had done, which ultimately was changed my beliefs about myself and my life. And so my vision became crystal clear. I knew I wanted to use a combination of all the things I had been learning, from marketing to persuasion, copywriting, you know, all these other, you know, non-related, I mean, they are related, but depending on your own perspective, maybe you wouldn't see them that way, but like NLP and hypnosis and a lot of self-development, all these things in my mind were connecting. And so
I knew I wanted to use this combination of all the things I've been learning and practicing to help cutting-edge coaches and entrepreneurs make a bigger impact by dominating their markets. And through them, I knew I could make my impact. Because, you know, it's like the ripple effect. When you, like, I help these coaches market their services, and then because I helped them market their services so well, they were able to get, say, 10 new clients, you know, and that made a difference in 10 new people's life, not just one. I didn't just help the coach. I helped 10 other people, and then maybe they recommend their friend and this and that. So it's this entire ripple effect, but I knew I wanted to do this because from my own direct experience, I had direct experience of how powerful of an effect coaching and information-based businesses can have on a person's life. That was how my life transformed, is through coaching, mentoring, and information-based businesses. They supplied me with the tools I needed to change. They helped me change. They helped me transform. And so that's when my biggest breakthrough ever happened. And I created what I call belief-based marketing. So before I tell you what belief-based marketing is, I want to say this. The reason it's called belief-based marketing is because I realized that beliefs are at the core of everything in the human experience. As far as human experience goes, I mean, yes, there's the deeper core of consciousness, but within the human nature and what's causes behavior and emotion and all these things, the core of it is belief. And I had realized that that was what my coaches were helping me with. That's what created the transformation, is a shift in belief for me changed my entire life. And so the name just came to me out of the blue. I was like, belief-based marketing. That's it. That's my new business name. And so belief-based marketing is a new breed of marketing infused with the deep understanding of human nature that I had spent so much time learning and practicing. See, this breakthrough was a little odd because I realized the most profound influence I experienced in my life was based on, like I said, breaking, transforming, and creating new beliefs in my mind. I realized how beliefs truly were the foundation of the human experience. That beliefs were the root of all human decision, behavior, emotion, and even human identity. And that they are the foundation of the emotions we feel, how we see ourselves, how we see life, and ultimately how we feel about ourselves and life and everything within it. So I'm sure you can just hear it in my voice. This was such a big breakthrough for me. It's like the light bulb just went off in my head, and I knew this was the real power. This was how you can really change the world, is by using and leveraging beliefs. Because like I said, they're the foundation. They're the root of everything else within the human psyche. The emotions, identity, values, feeling, perception, you know, it's all based in beliefs and framing, really. And so it was just a huge breakthrough for me. I can't even begin to explain how big of a breakthrough that was. And so it really was a synthesis of all I had learned and experienced up until that point, crystallized into a new way of marketing and a new way of persuading. And it all came about from my own change in beliefs and my own understanding and deep, direct experience with the profound power that beliefs and everything beliefs control have on human beings. So being a brand new system, the core of belief-based marketing is leveraging beliefs through implementing various strategies from fields like marketing, copywriting, in conjunction with strategies from other fields like one-on-one persuasion, sales, NLP, hypnosis. So it's really, this is going to sound, I don't know, this might sound funny to some people, but I like to think of it as very holistic, you know, because I've spent a lot of time learning from people in marketing and copywriting, and for some weird reason, you don't hear them talk about beliefs much. The only two people I've heard talk about it much is Russell Brunson and Steven Larson. And they do talk about beliefs, which I absolutely love. And if you don't already follow them, then definitely check them out. But those were the only two guys I really heard much about beliefs from. And I'm sure there are people deep in the game who understand this stuff, but I hadn't been exposed to it, and I don't know that other people have either, and it really doesn't seem like it. But the funny thing is, around the same time I created belief-based marketing, I was given the opportunity to work with some extremely sharp professionals. It was really synchronistic, actually, the way it all turned out, because I had just had this breakthrough, and it was like my life had restarted or something. I don't know how to explain it. It was just such a big breakthrough for me and brought so much excitement to me that, I don't know. It was like a new beginning for me, really. Let's just say that. And it was the rebirth of my brand and my business. And it's just funny because these really sharp professionals and really pretty close to my dream client. One of them is my dream client. The other one is pretty close. They just attracted to me and wanted to work with me without me even trying. So it was just a funny synchronistic thing that happened. But now at this point of the writing and in my business, I'm on track for my best year yet. I'm getting ready to trademark a number of methods and strategies. And like I said, I'm working with my dream client. And as I reflect, it's just amazing to me to see how far I've come, because I hope my mom never listens to this, because she would probably be crying the entire time, especially now. But it just blows my mind, because I struggled so much mentally and, you know, struggle with even suicide and drugs and all these things. And I've just been so blessed to have somehow made it through all that to the other side, where my life is good now. I'm happy. I don't have those issues anymore. They just disappeared. And I have my mentors to thank for that. So it just blows my mind even now how far I've come, and, you know, that this has been possible for me to get to this point, and that these breakthroughs have happened, and that I'm actually able to help other people in their lives implementing belief-based marketing. And for the record, I was initially pretty nervous to share my story, but after some thought, I decided I really wanted to, because I feel like there will be people who listen to this and they'll feel a connection with me. You know, maybe they can't relate with everything I talked about, but maybe they know someone who can, or, you know, I think that there will be really great connections made from people hearing my story, and they'll want to work with me. You know, they'll want me to help them implement belief-based marketing with their business, and, you know, others won't, and that's fine, because not everyone's a good match. But I just want to take a quick sec and challenge these listeners on this podcast to open up a little bit and share your story with your clients and your audience, because really we're all human and we all have problems. And just like my life, you know, I made it through to this point now, which if you ask my mom, she would tell you that she's amazed I'm not dead. Not even kidding. Or in prison. She's so grateful. And, you know, I've made it this far. And, you know, maybe your story is different than mine, but I just want you to know that by sharing your story, you can connect with people. And that's the basis of business, is connection. You know, it's not this robotic experience. We're humans. We need to connect. And actually, I'm working on my my campaign right now, and I'm going deep into research, understanding the science behind connection and empathy and mirror neurons and the effects on the brain when people make these connections, and, you know, the neurochemicals release and all this. It's profound. It's really profound. So just as a quick side note, I want to challenge you to, you know, think about your story and start sharing it with people. And so anyway, at the end of the day, everything I've experienced has led me to where I am now, and ultimately led me to the clarity I have and the clarity of my mission, which is to help others on their journey by leveraging belief-based marketing in a way that allows them to succeed bigger and bring their vision to life. So that's really it, guys. And I'm stoked that if you've made it this far, thank you for listening. I'm honored that you would spend your time listening to this story, this podcast. I really want to bring value to you guys and help you have breakthroughs in your life and leverage beliefs to just make the world a better place. That's what it's about. That's what belief-based marketing is about. It's leveraging beliefs and everything beliefs control, like emotions, values, perception, all these things. You're leveraging it to make a positive impact in the world. So I'm stoked about this. Thank you, guys. And just a quick side note, I offer Origin Story Creation as a service. So if anyone is interested in that, you can shoot me an email at andrew@beliefbasedmarketing.com or fill out the confidential client application form on my website, which is just www.beliefbasedmarketing.com. And I'd be happy to help you with that if you're interested. If not, just please consider, you know, doing it yourself, going deep into your story and sharing it with people. We're humans. We love story and we love connection. So I wish you guys all a lot of success, a lot of fulfillment, and to a more positive influence and more positive impact in your life and the impact you have on your audience. So that's all I got. I will catch you on episode 2 coming at you here in a couple days. All right. Andrew Greenleaf here. Peace.